At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more. My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself. To the old me, scared and unseen, you're the reason I built this dream. Now I speak so others thrive. Turn my scars into sound. I come alive from the ashes and the breakdown. I don't run, I rise, won't back down. This bound, every word a step, every truth profound. We don't heal in silence, we fight with grace, softness and defiance, lighting up this place.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hello, hello. It's Brooke Devard from Naked Beauty. Join me each week for unfiltered discussion about beauty trends, self-care journeys, wellness tips, and the products we absolutely love and cannot get enough of. If you are a skincare obsessive and you spend 20 plus minutes on your skincare routine, this podcast is for you. Or if you're a newbie at the beginning of your skincare journey, you'll love this podcast as well because we go so much deeper than beauty. I talk to incredible and inspiring people from across industries about their relationship with beauty. You'll also hear from skincare experts. We break down lots of myths in the beauty industry. If this sounds like your thing, search for Naked Beauty on your podcast app and listen along. I hope you'll join us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Edna White, your host of Keeping It Real on Purpose. And today we're so excited because we are doing a series of, I want to say, different entrepreneurs or maybe even life coaches that have a perspective on life. But I like this one because it's one of my favorites. And you guys know me, fun. You know, as a childhood sexual abuse survivor, I lost all the fun and imagination. So once I gained it back, I am not letting it go. And this next guest here is going to make sure we keep it fun. I want to introduce you, my audience of Keeping It Real, to the amazing soul, Elise. How are you today?
I am well. It's a beautiful day to be alive.
I know. It is. Above ground and all that, all the aches and pains. You good. You good. Yeah. So I want to talk about like your mission on making it fun. Tell us about that.
That's a good question. I never used to perceive life that way until pain happened.
Okay.
So I was able to overcome 20 years of excruciating body pain last year.
Okay.
When I did something different. So just a little backstory on what really shifted my perspective on starting to see life as fun. So I was born and raised in Nigeria, and you know, I moved here to the United States about 8 years ago, and I served in the military for 3 years and medically retired 2 years ago. The reason why I had to medically retire was because of an excruciating lower back pain. And because I couldn't serve anymore. So once they transitioned me to the VA to keep seeing doctors, I went to physical therapy for 13 months, bunch of MRI scans, hordes of medication. Just think about anything to cure pain. I went through that. But I realized that after a year, nothing was working. And that took a huge toll on my mental, physical health. And I decided to do something that I was scared to do for a very long time in my life. So I did something very different because I realized that everything externally wasn't working. So I tracked my medication, I canceled my doctor's appointment, and I looked within myself and I sat with my feelings and emotion. I embraced all parts of myself. I stopped running away from myself, from my monsters and my demons and those parts that I didn't want to look at in the mirror. And I stopped playing victim to the pain. I realized that the pain was such a beautiful way for me to experience myself, was teaching me something that I was pushing away. And the moment I embraced the pain, I mean, really starts to show it love, compassion, and using my inner strength and resilience. Pain of 20 years after 1 week stopped with no external, you know, force. It was just going within myself to realize I had all the answers. And I'm just like, it's that simple. And over time, after that transformative experience, I realized that life is simple, life is fun, is how you see it, and life is ultimately mental. But the fun part was when I started to connect back to my inner child, you know, that childlike version of me that's just living in the moment. I'm not worried about 5 years from now, just here and now. And I started to see life that way, and I just started to experience life that way. So hence the reason for the life is fun. So that's really like, you know, my
story. The best. That's the stinking best. Let me tell you, the stinking best. I am with you, sister, all the way. Everything you said. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. We may even had the same, you know, like situations. And yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And yes, ma'am. I will even go further and tell you that I spent 29 years in a religious order trying to find that. And you got the key real early, okay? You got the key real early, okay? And I was trying to find that. I was reaching outside myself only to find out 28 years later that, oh, I have the answers. You know, God speaks to me. Oh, what? I can hear. Yeah. I'm alive.
Yes.
I can touch people's lives without being in the ministry, without having one of those certificates.
Yes. You know?
Yes. I can do all those great things. And when I realized that, I started to, let me tell you, the debriefing, and I know you about to know about the debriefing, being a military person. The debriefing was, I think it was only 6 months of deep study to kind of unravel what I was taught. But man, it was painful. It was painful to unlearn, you know, but you got the message early. So, you know, I applaud you. I applaud you wholeheartedly. You got it. You really did. I'm telling you, girl, because I was like, okay, God, what's up with this? No. God, I spent 29 years up. What's up with this? This is practice run, you know? This is how I talk to God. What, practice run? And I'm telling you, just to know that now I'm in a place, and I think I was in my 40s when I started, this started happening, unfolding for me. And boy, was I shocked. Mm-hmm. Really shocked. And so I read, and the reason why I got up early before the show, I read this book.
I've read it before, software,
And I read this book, and I was like, this was my Bible to unlearn the stuff that people, that I was told. This book here was unravel things, because I was doing a lot of it myself, because like you just said, I didn't look inner. Yeah. Sometimes it's so very hard to look in.
Yeah.
And as a childhood sexual abuse survivor, it's so painful to look within.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so really painful. And then dealing with my, I guess I want to say, reparenting my inner child.
Yes.
To help my inner child grow.
Yes.
As I was growing, you know, yeah. Because when my 40s, I was still 12.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I was still 12. I was like, yeah. Oh my gosh. Even when my mother spoke to me, and it was something, maybe something simple, I would feel myself shrink down and answer like I was a kid. I was like, and I one day I noticed it. I said, oh, I gotta get this together.
Right.
I was like, I feel 12, and that's not good. And I was like, oh, I gotta get this together. You know, coupled with therapy and a lot of inner work.
Yes.
You know, just having a sounding board sometimes is really good because I had the answers. I just had to get it out.
Right.
And we don't know how important the voice is.
Yes.
You know, and I know that I know you would know that, you know, about the voice.
Yes.
Right? You would know that.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, yes. It's amazing. It's amazing. You know what's actually beautiful about the book you just showed? It's so interesting because I read this book probably like, I love reading books a lot.
Uh-huh.
I read this book probably like 3 years ago. Recently, I got a really great inspiration about my book title. And because I was a bit, this is just me keeping it real. I will say that I struggled, you know, because of obviously my limiting beliefs that, you know, I had to work through. I struggled with being all the way confident and shrinking myself. So I will share this. So the title of the book is Who the Fuck Am I? How to Play the Human Game.
That's really great.
Now, my limiting belief was like, why should we put fuck on the title? You know, and I kept battling with that because I was like, why should I shrink myself? But here is it. I'm very big about sitting in silence, right? So I sit in silence. That's one of my routines. One, I was sitting in silence. I was like, okay, why do I have this? Why do I keep telling myself this story? And something just came into my mind. Do you see Dick Sporting Goods? How dare you dare? It's a multi-million dollar brand. And I'm scared to put fuck in front of the title.
Exactly.
Like, that was it for me. Maybe I had that, you know, aha. I was like, you know what? Fuck it.
And let me just tell you, that's so true. You know, it's important to understand what words are. So very important, you know. Mm-hmm. And I can say, I'm going to go back to my example being in a religious order. You had to be very selective with your words, but some of the words were so stupid. You'd be like, what does that even mean? You know, and yet, We struggle with doing something because that's your assignment.
Right.
God said, this is your book. You know, this is your book. And you're trying to say, no, I can't do that.
Yeah.
You know, you're that's not what I'm going to say. You know.
Right.
Are you kidding me? Are you just kidding me?
Yeah.
People walk around with the vagina word on them. Okay.
I know.
Are you kidding me?
I know.
Come on. I mean, you know, come on. It's just, we get hung up on those things and those are our limits. And I'm telling you, this guy, I don't know him per se, but when I saw because I was going through stuff, you know, and I was like, this is exactly how I feel. This is exactly how I really, and in my 42 to be exact, I started studying or not, you know, being very careful or cautious on what I gave a fuck about.
Yeah.
Like, really. Because we give a fuck about too many tiny things. And it'd be like cornflakes. Which brand is better?
Yeah.
We give up instead of worrying about how much sugar's in there that's killing us.
Yeah.
We care about that. We care about the style of shoe that we're, the brand of shoe that we're wearing instead of how that high heel is going to mess our backs up when we get older. Okay.
Yeah.
And how that game for that $1,000
is going to, and how that $1,000 is going to affect us, you know, coming out of our paycheck.
Right.
Come on. It really talks about the art of not, you know, and just like the art of no, I love that. The art of no.
No.
Oh my gosh. It gave me back all my fun. I mean, I really, when I say that I strategically with my life with that, not that I didn't, you know, there's some things that you don't give a fuck about. Then there's the art of no.
No.
So I was taking on everything. And you gravitate to this. I would take on everything. Taking my mom to the doctor. Taking this one to the doctor. Taking on that one. Right. Going over here and get my nephews. Going over here.
Right.
I was doing everything. I had my own kids, by the way. By the way. Okay, I had three kids that I'm gonna take care of. I'm doing all of that. And then I'm going to church, staying there all day on Saturday and Sunday on my time that I have to rest because I have my own business that I'm running. Wow. I'm running two offices. Mind you, my youngest was 13. I had to go to work, come back 48 miles to get him off the bus to come with me to work, to stay with me, help him with his homework. I'm doing all this stuff. Burnt myself out. Didn't know what it was, right? But I had to start saying no. And a lot of people that say when they're very busy, they have not conquered the ability to say no.
They know, yes.
They have not. They have not. And I learned what busy was when I was working. So I'd be like, somebody call me, I'm busy. So I would look at some papers, I go like this, oh, I'll put that over there. I move from one pile. Next thing I know, I later on, that's the same pile that was over there. I put it over here. Didn't do a thing.
Yes.
Because I'm busy about doing nothing. There's no order. There's no order to it. And I hear, and I know you hear your clients always saying, I don't have no time. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
We all have the same time. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Sleep then, you know, no, sleep less and then go, then, you know what I'm saying? Do something, but come on. Are you kidding me? Or you hear somebody say, what did they say? You know, I have a very busy schedule. This would kill me. Now, you're coming to a meeting. You say to me, Edna, you coming. You came today, right? Oh, girl, I forgot. I hear people tell me this all the time. Now, you scheduled an appointment with me. I didn't schedule with you. Okay. Yeah. I overbooked or I did something like that. You're being too busy. When I find myself overbooking somebody, okay, slow down, Edna. You're doing too much. And people's times are priority. Yours is no better than mine, but it's a priority, and we have to make sure that we're doing that. And I know in the subtle art of giving a fuck, you have to. Time is a thing that you don't get back. So you'd be concerned about something you can't get back.
Exactly. Speaking of time, there's this movie. I don't know if you've seen it before, but you should watch it. It's a classic. Yeah. It's called The Bucket List.
Oh, girl, yes. Yes. That was one of my movies to watch. I think I was in my 40s, man. In fact, I think it's old, though. It's old.
It's not old.
I'm telling you. That I was crying through the whole movie.
Yeah.
I was crying when they were laughing. I was like, I know what's going to happen at the end, you know?
Yeah. Once, you know, you have limited time, all those things you say you don't have time for, they become priorities.
Yes. As soon as you know. And that, when I had my car accident for 2007.
Right.
I realized that very same thing. That I have to live my life like today is the last day.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
Do everything you could do in that one. I don't care. Get it in.
Yes.
Get it in and do the last day. Something fun and productive.
Right.
I wanted to talk about fun because I love your life is fun. It is. It is when you make it. You know, yes, there's things that's going around. But if you put the laughter back in, and it's not to say you're laughing at everything, and it's the joy. It really is the fun part.
It's the joy.
It's the joy of it. And I hear, and maybe you could talk about this, but I hear a lot of my clients say, I don't have time to even be friends with people. Like,
they are my saviors. Some of my friends are my saviors. So right. How can you not have time to be with, you know, socialize? Because is it fun part of socializing?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. Exactly. And, you know, as human beings, we all want connection. That's what we crave to nurture and be nurtured. But, you know, I genuinely feel like, and, you know, it's something that I always say.
Yeah.
See, the moment you tap into that inner child that had no belief system, no resistance, you're open. Yes. You're open. And that's why, I don't know if you know this, but your subconscious belief system is formed from 0 to 7. After 7, you know, you whatever you saw mommy and daddy do or society, you take it in as your life on how you see life.
See it. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So that's why when you keep repeating the same pattern, you don't know why, but you subconsciously took it in. And I will tell you, I was sexually assaulted in the military.
Yes.
And that was a very twice when I was basic training and when I got to my first duty station at Fort Liberty, North Carolina. I actually filed a report. But, you know, I will share this with you because you also said, you know, you were a victim of sexual assault. I share this because for a long time I blamed the drill sergeant or, you know, my NCO for what happened. But when I started doing my inner work, I mean, when I started going within myself, I had to go back to the beginning of my story. When I was a teenager, I was also sexually assaulted because I'm from Nigeria, by one man who used to come do laundry for my parents, and he forced himself on me. So I took that in. So I kept repeating that same cycle.
Right.
So the army triggered that subconscious trauma inside of me. But I kept pointing fingers at, it wasn't those people. I had to accept that, forgive myself, and accept it. And that's how I was able to break out of that trauma.
Oh, absolutely.
Because everything is a pattern, right?
Absolutely.
But I will say that, you know, the moment you shift your mindset from, hey, I'm a victim or you did that, blame that person.
That's right.
It's going to be very challenging to find peace, you know, freedom within yourself, because we all want the same thing.
Absolutely.
It might look different. We want peace, freedom, happiness. Mm-hmm. That's all we want at the same at the end of the day, right? But, you know, me shifting my mindset to realize that there's ultimately, okay, I'll share this, I'll end this with this quote. A man who blames everyone has a very long way to go on this journey.
Oh, that's good.
A man who blames himself is halfway there. And a man who blames no one has already arrived. The moment I stop blaming anybody because life is life, peace, like this immense peace. I stopped being angry at society, my parents, people that sexually assaulted me. And I just accepted that part of my journey. And it was so fulfilling. So if this is anyone listening, you know, there's ultimately no one to blame. Just accept it that life just happens. But
it's true. You know what? That's true. That's really, I will tell you, childhood sexual abuse there was a habit with the person that kind of assaulted me. But what I took into my adulthood is the similarities of him in all these people.
Yes.
And when until I got it, which was on my second marriage, I got it, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
I'm drawing that.
Yes.
Worry is tricky. Worry is very tricky because it embeds itself in your brain patterns.
Right.
And it emanates. And everybody doesn't realize that we are energy.
Yes.
So we don't have to say a word.
No.
Energy proceeds.
Yeah.
Okay. And I would say, oh, they picked me out. No, they didn't.
No.
The energy waves.
Yes.
Connected. You know, it just connected. I'm talking about in our adulthood. I'm not talking about when you're a child. I'm talking about when you're in your adulthood.
Yeah.
And it happens. So then I had to say, okay, I saw the red flags.
Yes.
I ignored them.
Yes.
I forgive myself.
Yes.
And I will not be tricked by that again. Yes. You know what I'm saying? And I, then that's when you start, you just don't stop there though. You start digging.
Yes.
What else is similar? Because you want to break up the pattern.
Yeah, break the pattern.
I did half of the work the first marriage, okay?
Okay.
Second part of it, I caught it at the end and I'm like, oh my gosh. I see that. I see the similarities. I figured that out.
Yeah.
Now I choose to be single because I can now see the red flags before I even get started. Mm. You know what I'm saying? I'm not even looking for them, but I could see them and it's okay.
Right.
It's okay. You know, it's okay that they have them, but they're not for me to, I don't need to take care of everybody. Like I need to take care of my, when you start taking care of your little child, your hurt child, your inner child.
Inner child, yeah.
When you start taking care of that inner child, you don't need to take care of anybody else. It's so refreshing when you start to take care of your inner child. This, when you see people, you know, oh, you know, I need to, I'd be like, as soon as they would, girl, you don't know. You don't know. And I was like, nope, I don't. And I don't want to know. I'd be like this, and I don't want to know. You know, that's what you do. But I got my own inner child to work with. I am not the sounding board for everybody's problems, and I don't have to take on people's problems. No. I would do that too as a trauma victim. Take everybody's you know, everybody's things in. I had a good friend of mine. She has some trauma issues that she never dealt with, but she would always include me in her issues with her children or whatever is going on and hand it to me like, handle that because I don't know how to. And I had to say one day, no, we can't do this. We can't do this anymore.
It's not your job.
It's not, this is your job.
Yeah.
I said, what I would suggest to you, if you don't think you can handle this anymore, what I think you should do is you should go to therapy.
Yes.
And really be intense with it.
Right.
And get some, and then that way you can heal your inner child. Because until you do that, me taking it, all it does, let me tell you, at one point, her child lived in another state across the country, okay? I was so angry at this child that I was driving in my car and I said, where the hell am I going? I was going to drive, that's how mad I was. And I was like, I had to stop.
Wow.
I was like, you get so in, because what? Again, those patterns come back, right? They come back.
Yeah.
And I was like, where the hell am I going? Like, I'm driving to where they are, and they across the country, girl.
Whoa.
I'm just driving. I said, you know what? That's when I said, I'm taking this. This is not my responsibility.
No, it's not.
And my trauma was taking over.
Yeah.
It took full swing. And I mean, when I say it, trauma drove the car, I literally didn't even feel myself getting into the car.
Wow.
That's how serious trauma is, and you let it, when it really wants to drive, it'll drive.
Yeah,
it'll take over your life, and that and I learned something too. Hate is serious when you really, because it's really when you start blaming other people. You know what that is? Undercover hate. It's undercover hate when you want to get somebody back, or they should, what's that? Revenge.
Revenge.
That's hate.
Yeah.
That's just hate. Well, you blaming somebody else, you hate the fact that, you know, you hate, it's undercover. You gotta really, it's a whole lot of examining, like you said. I like what you said about the examining your inner self. Cause that, no woman, men will admit it, no woman want to do it. Men will admit, I did that. Sorry, bud. You know, I slept with your girlfriend. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know, we cool.
Yeah.
We cool. You know. You know, there was an accident. And it,
right.
But women, and we're the ones with the most diseases, right? Mm-hmm. Talk about that. How diseases when you don't like? Because I know you alluded to it about with the back pain. So talk about that.
Yeah, what you said, I should talk about the back pain?
The pain, how it can reside in your body, because we get help. We're the ones that get unhealthy really quick with cancers and everything. Yeah.
So for me, so So for me, you know, the lower back pain manifested itself when in my 30s, I'm 33 now.
Okay.
And I didn't realize this until I went back to the beginning of my story and I realized something. It wasn't lower back pain. When I went to the beginning of my story, it was anger. As a child, I'm from Nigeria. You're not allowed to express your emotion. It's a taboo in the Nigerian society, right?
Right.
So my mom said, and this is me paraphrasing her voice, she's like, Wanu, you were just a very angry child. I don't know, you just came out angry, right? I was always angry as a baby to a teenager. And that anger turned into rage. Yeah. And that rage turned into lower back excruciating pain. Anger is a natural emotion, but if you suppress it long enough, because the body keeps score, it will turn into something that the body manifests. For me, it was lower back pain. But it was looking like lower back pain, but until I went to the beginning of my story, what was I responding or reacting to as a child? Now, what was that thing that I wasn't allowed to just be? You know, and until I got to the root cause of what was going on, anger, that was when I was able to navigate that pain. But I just had to go back to that child.
You know, and it's true. You got to go back to that child.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something I just learned the other day. So I didn't meet my dad till I was like 27.
Oh, wow.
My mom kind of hid him from me, and there's this whole, like you said, whole backstory.
Yeah.
What my mom just told me is that they were cousins in a way. Yeah. Okay. And I was like, and the families didn't want them together. So I was like, okay, say, because I know where my dad and my mom, my grandmother is from Haiti.
Oh.
My grandfather's from Sierra Leone. So he worked in a railroad. They kind of met somewhere. It came to America. Mm-hmm. Okay. Before my dad was born, you know, he was in my mom's, in my grandmother's belly when he came here.
Right.
So, and so I was like, well, how are they related? Yeah, I just kept saying, I'm thinking, how are they related? I didn't know. Right. So I had forgotten. And you know how the genes kind of mix, and then there's always an extra of something,
right?
When there's like when you're too close in when two people kind of get together and they're too close in genealogy, something extra always shows up, like an extra finger, toe, you know, things like that. Okay. When I was born, I had six fingers.
Yeah,
I had completely
beautiful.
I had six fingers on both hands. I completely forgot about that. Now, I had been angry with my mother for years for hiding this man from me, right? Thinking she was doing it on purpose. When she finally told me that they were related, they didn't know they were related. And I didn't remember that I had these six fingers until I'm going to tell you yesterday. And I was like, oh my God, all this time, she had no choice.
Yeah.
You know, and I just had realized that yesterday. I'm in my 50s. I just realized that yesterday.
Wow.
So revenge is no good until you get the backstory like you.
Yes.
Like, and being angry is no good unless you get the backstory. So I was angry at her for holding this guy back from me. But honestly, he was a relative of hers, and a family didn't want them together.
Yes.
And so it started a ripple effect.
Yeah.
Just started one that couldn't be stopped. And I had to call my mom, you know, mom, I'm really sorry. And she goes, what you do now? So I said, I'm sorry, because now I just realized that. And I told the story. She goes, she couldn't say nothing. I know she was, you know, she was crying, and she just, thank you. I had to get that off.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh, you know, but going back to that story, and healing is never over.
No.
It's never over. You're not healed. It's never over. Even a sore that is healed on the top is tender to the touch.
Yeah.
It's tender to the touch. It still has to go through something.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I had a scar from my accident on my hip, and it's still tender. And that's been since 2007. It's still tender. It's healed over, walking great and all this, and it's still tender. So it's always a process.
Right.
I like what you're doing. So tell us a little bit more about your business. I like it. I like it a lot.
Oh, so the name of my company is The Mindfuck Co. Fuck stands for fun, compassion, and kindness. So essentially what we do is... I'm very huge believer of women, mentoring women. So my approach is fun and authenticity. And I have, you know, amazing fun tools that I teach and I mentor women so they can start to live a healthy, wealthy and happy life. But I'm very big on simplicity. Anything more than 2-3 steps, you've lost me. And well, essentially what we do is after 90 days, I don't really say I'm a coach because I don't have anything to, I don't like this, what's that thing? A crutch or like, I tell you that you already have all the answers. You're whole just the way you are. All I'm doing is showing you what is already there, you know? So after I show you, since you start to, once you start to shift your mindset, on your life, it's easier to start to respond to life. So that's essentially what we do. And I speak, I'm an author, but the crux of it is having fun, approaching life simply, and realize that once life happens, go back to your mind. It's your mind, your thoughts that's creating this, and realize that life is mental. So that's essentially like, you know, the value chain of the business. It's just like, you know, realize that life is really mental and you can have fun, be compassionate to yourself and be kind. Hence the Mindfuck Co.
Well, that is so wonderful. We talked about a lot today. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you, we talked about some good darn stuff. Okay. I almost said the other word, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. And I like you as a host, as just being a guest. I just love it. That's what I like about, you know, like again, energy knows energy, you know, and that's the way it is. That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
So we've come to the end of this show, and I want to thank you for being here.
Thank you for
amazing soul. I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for, you know, really sharing everything that you really shared with us, because it's life-changing.
Thank you so
for my audience. And I know it's life-changing for me. This is Edna White and my esteemed guest, the amazing soul Elise, saying goodbye for now.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hello, hello. It's Brooke DeVard from Naked Beauty. Join me each week for unfiltered discussion about beauty trends, self-care journeys, wellness tips, and the products we absolutely love and cannot get enough of. If you are a skincare obsessive and you spend 20 plus minutes on your skincare routine, this podcast is for you. Or if you're a newbie at the beginning of your skincare journey, you'll love this podcast as well, because we go so much deeper than beauty. I talk to incredible and inspiring people from across industries about their relationship with beauty. You'll also hear from skincare experts. We break down lots of myths in the beauty industry. If this sounds like your thing, search for Naked Beauty on your podcast app and listen along. I hope you'll join us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.